In my adolescent years, I must admit that I don't really remember celebrating the ascension of our Lord to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. I do remember Easter very well, and I certainly remember Christmas, and I was certainly aware of the fact that Jesus had ascended to the right hand of the Father as confessed in the Apostles and Nicene Creeds. I probably could have told you that it was 40 days after Easter, our Lord's resurrection, that the ascension occurred. But what it came to is what it meant for us as Christians, why we celebrated it. I must admit again that I had absolutely no clue. And so I suppose that the angelic messengers could have easily asked me, as they asked the men of Galilee that day, "Why do you stand there looking into heaven? This Jesus was taken up from you into heaven and will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Easy enough, right? Well, not really. Why do we stand staring? Why do we stand there at the edge of the parking lot, fighting back tears as our youngest child goes off to college? Why do we stand there staring at the for sale sign of our childhood home? Why might we stand there staring at the empty hospice room? Why do we stand there looking at the grave, rubbing our hands over the etched name on the tombstone? How does parting feel? How does the emptiness feel? How does it feel to close one chapter of your life and have absolutely no idea how to open the next one? How do widows feel? How do the lost and abandoned feel? Isn't it as plain as day? It's over. It's the end. They've left. They are gone. There's nothing left but the memories, and even the memories are remembered with countless shades of joy and sorrow. You see, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh will always lead you to believe that these separations, these things that happen in life, are goodbyes. That it is indeed the end of life when Jesus leaves. Now, Jesus will say elsewhere that his going to the Father is for the sake of the disciples. It's for your sake that he goes away. He doesn't leave you, as he says, as orphans or abandons you. Strangely, he leaves you in order to prepare for you something that you could not prepare for yourself. That is, a room, an eternal dwelling place with the Father in heaven. And as he reigns from the right hand of God the Father Almighty, he does so with love and giving gifts to men, that is, his gospel and sacraments. Your body, your soul, your entire life, and all of creation are sanctified with God eternally in the body of Jesus Christ. That is where your body and your soul reside. So living with him in love and faithfulness, there you truly live the life that God has given you. You do not live by running away from your body and your flesh. You do not live by running away from the vocations that God has given you. Rather, God has called you precisely to live in love and faithfulness in those places where you serve your neighbor in faith and love. So, Jesus calls us to remain in these varied vocations, and we are not to flee from them, no matter their crosses. For in these vocations, you wait faithfully for the promise of the Father. And what is the promise of the Father? It is nothing but the Spirit of Christ. For though you feel naked and alone often in your vocations, you are clothed with the Spirit of Christ, who guides you into all truth and comfort, and you are also surrounded by a great communion of saints, both living and departed. Already you are God's own child, and you gladly say it, for though it is by faith and not by sight. Just as Christ entered his glory through his suffering, so also you enter the kingdom of God through much tribulation, suffering, repentance, and faith in Christ. Now your flesh is no different than my flesh. Though age separates us, we are all collectively suffering from the same disease, if you will, and that is sin. There is a common warfare that is waged against us all, and specifically as we are the church. Sin, death, and the devil, they turn our hearts to fear and to worry and anxiety, to a loss of hope to the one who ascends into heaven. After all, you don't feel or experience the glory of the resurrection and ascension. You don't yet see all things under and beneath Christ's feet. You don't yet experience that all his enemies and your enemies have been defeated. Christ turns everything upside down in his ascension. Death is turned into life, and demise is turned into eternal destiny. But yet you are still upright, still suffering the blows of the evil one in this sin-laden creation. You hear in the word of the Lord that in this fallen creation you will have tribulation. And that is not the exception. That is the rule. That is the rule of this mortal life. In the day that you eat of it, you shall die. That comes with all the weaknesses that lead to death. What you see and experience is not the resurrection, but rather you feel and experience the cross every day. And it would seem as though, as it did for the disciples that first ascension, they were hardly a case for celebration, but rather it was nothing but a parting of great sorrow, that it was a goodbye. And yet the truth of our Lord's word calls out after us, and Jesus grabs you by faith in the hearing of the word, and he says, basically, look, I'm not gone, my child. I'm not some sort of mysterious rocket man that has gone into the outer atmosphere. I'm not some sort of pie in the sky, figment of your imagination. No, I've entered the presence of my Father in your skin, with all of its sins, failures, regrets, and brokenness. In the same flesh and blood, I've ascended to my Father's house in order to build you your own place within my Father's vast heavenly country. In other words, ascension is the enfleshment of Easter. Or ascension says Easter is for you. And you know that it is true. For the cloud that received Jesus is the same cloud, as you may remember, that led the wandering Israelites throughout their desert journeys. And it was by that cloud which he came to them, and that he enveloped them, and that he gave them forgiveness, mercy, grace, sustenance, and all that they needed to support this body and life. And by this cloud he speaks his word through his servants, who faithfully echo that which he has given them to speak. Nothing more, nothing less. And this cloud, this kingdom of God, it comes to man with all its riches and its storehouses of comfort. And so St. Luke tells us that the ascended Lord's word goes out. It begins at Jerusalem, but it doesn't stay there. It goes to Judea and to Samaria and then to Rome and then to the New World and then to the Third World and then to Africa and Asia and then to the entire planet. And as this word goes out and it is confessed and preached, it does what? It makes disciples of all nations. And it baptizes them into Christ's holy name. And they confess his word alone. We saw that this morning with the confirmation of Emily. That is how the church is made and glorified. the body of Christ, marked by these gifts and bearing the marks of his crucified, yet risen and ascended body. That is the church, the city of God, the new Jerusalem. For he is not only the priest and king of the church, he is also the temple of God among men. He is the church. This is your home. Jerusalem the golden, milk and honey blessed, the promise of salvation, the place of peace and rest. This is where you live because this is where Christ is with you now and forever. He really does unite and hold all things together. Just like on earth, we believe that mothers and fathers do that for their families. For where he is, there is no loss. Where he is, there is no goodbye. Where he is, there is all things, and they are created anew as they were created in the beginning without sin and death. He is everywhere, and yet at the same time, he is here. He brings God to you in that he continues to teach and to do all that he has commanded, and we receive it joyfully. He brings us to the Father, and he seats us in an eternal room within the Father's heavenly city. Don't get me wrong, there seems to be somewhat of an insensitivity on the part of the angelic messengers. Why do you stand there looking into heaven? Well, why do you think I'm standing there looking into heaven? The one person I had hope in is leaving. And so there is a real sense of the cross buried within the ascension. That is the why of your sufferings and the pain that doesn't all of a sudden stop because Jesus is here. You know better than that. And so all of us together as the body of Christ, we long for the consummation of all things, for the resurrection of the body and the everlasting life in paradise. We plead and we pray desperately for that, and rightly so, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done." And we implore with the Advent Church, "Even so, Lord Jesus, quickly come, that you might put away suffering and pain and separation and death, and all of that would be no more. For it is through the submission of your flesh and the study of our Lord's Word that you find your confidence and it rests in this, that your salvation from birth unto new life is finished. It's a done deal. It's all for you as the sacrament of the altar declares that his flesh and blood does not part for you, but rather descends from heaven over and over again to give you his flesh and his blood for the forgiveness of your sins. In other words, the sacrament of the altar tells you, I'm coming back. I have not left you. I have ascended to the Father, but my flesh and my blood are still here to comfort you in life and in death. For that is what the ascension means, ultimately, that he fills all things simply to be present and at work in his church for you, to bring the church, you and all the faithful, to his Father within his ascending body. That he does for you by means, that he does this, excuse me, for you, means that all the heartache and all the brokenness and all the hard things that happen to you in this life shall not destroy you, nor separate you from his life and his love. There simply is no pain, no persecution, no place, nor pit, nor place, even in what you might think to be a hellhole, where Christ is not there for you in his peace and mercy. For he is with you, and even now he lives and reigns forever at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He doesn't ask you to climb up into heaven by works of piety and acts of works. He simply comes all the way down to you. He descends all the way down to you, he who ascended to heaven. And he gathers you by his flesh and blood into himself, and he abides with you as true God and true man. And your life, as St. Paul says, is hidden with God in Christ Jesus. Disciples that day learned a valuable lesson, one that we often learn every day, that this mortal life is one of constant separations, which cut us off and distance us from our family and our friends, our loved ones, and even from our nearest and dearest kindred spirits in this life. Whether by death or disease, or by accidents or atrocities, by adventures or adversities, by ailments or age, your relationships and your connections with humanity are constantly being changed, and they are even being ended. And this is precisely why we need the ascension of our Lord. The ascension of our Lord proclaims to us a permanent place for us, a perfect peace where we dwell with God and God dwells with us, and that it does not change, and that it cannot be taken away from us, and that it is not far from you, but it's a very present help in time of trouble. For there is no goodbye in the temple of God. There's no goodbye in the water and the word. There's no goodbye in the body and blood of Christ. There's no goodbye in the ascension of our Lord. For on that final day, when the dead are waking, the ascended Christ, he will descend from heaven. And he will, by his mighty hand, arouse us from our deathly slumber. And there, in his firm grip, he will redeem your destroyed and earthly frame and ascend you into heaven and glorify your body and your soul into a perfect body and soul. And he will place you with all the saints in heaven from all the ages that have now lived and will live in confession of this ascended Christ, being glorified in the ageless age of eternity with Christ, he who ascended into heaven and has given us gifts that we might also be where he is. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all your human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.